I was in Reykjavik at the time, and it was an unusually extreme winter. I don't recall seeing the sun once while writing the piece.
Is there such a thing as Nordic music? Can music really sound like the place it's from, even if the place we talk about might encompass everything from sleek cities to intensely dramatic landscapes apparently teetering on the edge of the world? 12 composers from 7 countries are nominated for this year's Nordic Council Music Prize. I'm Andrew Meller, I'm a music journalist, and together on this podcast, we're going to delve into all 12 pieces of music and meet the people who made them. Hi, Bara.
Hi.
How are you today?
Good. It's so strange to just hear a voice out of nowhere.
In this episode, we're heading up to Iceland, but only figuratively. We'll meet Bara Gisladottir, an Icelandic performer and composer based in Copenhagen, who's nominated for her concert work, Vidir. You are here on Amager as well somewhere, aren't you?
Yeah, I am.
And perhaps you could just describe where you're talking to us from.
Just from my apartment.
So do you write your music at home as well?
Yeah, I do.
And are you in the room where you actually work right now?
No, I'm in the living room now because it has the best internet, but I have a home office.
Okay. And some composers talk about, needing views of rolling hills or sunny beaches in which to compose, but you're in the city.
I don't really notice so much what's outside, so it doesn't really matter to me. It's nice when there is some sort of silence, of course.
Bara is emerging as a major figure on the contemporary music scenes in both Denmark and Iceland. Her piece Vidir is as hard to describe as that word itself, an Icelandic noun that suggests dimensions but actually stretches far beyond that definition. Vidir is scored for a highly unusual ensemble of 9 flutes, guitar, double bass, percussion and organ. The prize committee concluded that the work was enthralling and was particularly taken with the way the composer controls the piece's large structure and explores the full capabilities of almost all the instruments she uses. But it was conceived specifically to be played inside a huge basilica on the edge of Copenhagen with a very special acoustic. I was lucky enough to be at the premiere and was struck by the extent to which Bara imagines her instruments as living beings, releasing animalistic qualities in them, really using no more than the notes she writes on the page and the artistry of those who play them. Hearing Vidir was an overwhelming live music experience, as wave upon wave of mustering and carefully controlled sound washed over us all like winds on a plain as we huddled inside this cavernous church. Let's talk a little bit about your piece, and you may have to help me with the pronunciation, Vidir, if I said it correctly.
Yeah, Vidir.
Vidir, okay.
Yeah, perfect.
Now, Grundtvigskirke, Grundtvig's church here in Copenhagen, plays a very important role in your piece. Perhaps you could describe the first time you went in this church, the feelings you had.
I first visited the church in the autumn of 2019. When I was still looking for a space for my debut concert from the Royal Danish Academy of Music. Initially, I was just looking for a very reverberant space, and then someone suggested the Grundtvigskirke, and I thought maybe it would be a bit of a dramatic choice because it's so big. But then after I visited, I really, there was no turning back, so to speak. Mads Hoek, the organist, showed me around, and he told me that the space boasted of a 9-second long reverb, and that was really enough for me.
And you used this reverberation as an extra instrument in your piece.
Yeah, I really look at it as the 15th performer of the piece, because it was specifically written for Grundtvig's church. Then the silences were very calculated from the sort of reverb I knew we would be hearing.
Thank you. Let's talk about the first performance in Kornvikskirke. I remember this vividly because I arrived at the church on this very cold, I think it was February day, wasn't it? And crowds had descended on the church far more than I think you had expected. The staff were kind of hurriedly uncovering new seats to accommodate them. And a lot of us, we sort of sensed that something special was going to happen before the music even started. Tell us how you felt when you first heard it.
It was a very special experience for me too. It took me maybe 30 minutes into the piece to just relax, I think, which is very uncommon for me because normally when the music starts, it just starts and I know there's nothing I can do about it. But I think because I handed the piece in to the musicians, I managed to finish like less than a week before the premiere. And I never do this. Like I always hand in within good time. So it had been sort of a rush to get it all together. Everything had still been going extremely smoothly, I must say. Like the musicians were just great and everyone was really well prepared. I was also a bit perplexed because the staff at concert told me that usually you never have more than an X number of guests. And I think we more than doubled that. I was a bit scared, I remember. And, you know, all these thoughts that I think is very common for composers and musicians to have, that something isn't good enough or that, you know, you should have done this better. And like, I was very worried about the audience thoughts, which was surprising to me. I don't know why I was so, it was very hard for me to relax. But then I felt that everyone was so focused and also that was sort of terrifying. But it was an extraordinary feeling and I thought the audience's listening was very intense too. It was just an intense hour.
We should talk about the flutes because they are the sort of biggest body of instruments in the piece, aren't they? And you get the most remarkable range of noises from them. They sound like flutes and also they sound completely not like flutes. There's a moment in which you ask the flautist to sort of scream through the instrument. This is a very striking moment in the piece. What was it you were trying to convey?
I've been very fond of this growling effect in wind instruments. It's very efficient on the bass flute especially. Initially, I was always working with this effect. I was swapping it out for where I would maybe have used flutter instead, but the flutter tongue is more well-behaved and it's more discreet. But I wanted rougher texture at some point and then the growl was really good for that. But then I started to play more around with this effect and you can really use it in multiple ways. I wanted to both combine like the different, like very characteristic growl of each individual instrument, but also to maybe push it a little. Like at one place they are growling / screaming in an extremely high register, as high of a register as they can, whilst playing one of the lowest notes they can on their flutes. And this creates like a very, yeah, it's like an effect full of life. It's like a universe on its own.
composing is a lonely thing, and this piece arrived in the world just before big changes happened, but it seems to have survived, and it's nominated for this prize. You say there have been two other performances. It has a life.
We are taking it to Mexico now. We're going to Ensenada and San Diego in September. So two more performances of it this year.
It's amazing to think of it being performed in such different buildings on the other side of the world.
Yeah, right.
Definitely keep an eye on that. Thank you so much, Barrett. It's been really good to talk and have your insights into this. Just such a fascinating, provocative piece. So thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Andrew.
Bye.
Bye.
I'm pretty sure that anyone who's been at a live performance of Vidya will have the piece etched on their mind for many months to come. But its impact on either of the two live recordings which are available to hear can be just as strong. This is a beautiful, fearsome example of how a composer can use the physics of a distinctive acoustic to transport listeners into another world, with quite a lot of behind-the-scenes cunning. Well, Barra is just one of 12 nominees for 2022's Nordic Council Music Prize. You can listen to all 12 talk about their music on this series. Just head to wherever you found this episode. You can also read about the nominated works at norden.org. I'm Andrew Meller, and this podcast was produced for the Nordic Council by Niels Bjørn and Ines Gack at Immersive Stories. Thanks for listening.